Andrews lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome to a preview edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. Joining me in the beautiful Bison Report studios in Horace, North Dakota, Zach Willis. How are we doing, man?
I'm good. I'm ready for another Bison Saturday. Let's go.
For sure. All right. Not much, I don't think, news to speak of. Not a ton going on between when we dropped the show on Monday and here on Friday. We have a little bit of really cool news, which is that we now have a permanent home at the tailgate lot.
So when you want to come see our beautiful, shiny faces every Saturday, we'll be at the same spot now.
Yeah, this is kind of pending further review, but I believe it's going to be pretty far south in the new paved lot. So not the one that's closest to the dome, the one that is adjacent to that past what used to be the tree line, and actually I think still has some trees, but in the what used to be the field and is now, you know, brand new asphalt.
The real ones remember when it wasn't paved.
Yeah, the real ones do, because I played a lot of touch football back there. Same as here. A kid, a ton. So the real ones do remember, but that is where we will be unless something changes, and we're really excited to get set up and make some food for all of you guys. Again, that was awesome to see the folks on Saturday, and we're really excited to continue to kind of be a part of everything on Saturday mornings. All right, without any further ado, though, we did mention and did obviously speak to Tajavis Miller, the three-star combo guard. Coach's kid had been out in Anaheim, California, spent time most recently in Lubbock, Texas, because his mom is a softball coach at Texas Tech. But we wanted to get our guy, Nate Zastrow, on the line. We wanted to speak to Nate about kind of the state of the program and just sort of chat with him about his thoughts on the second consecutive three-star caliber kid to commit to NDSU and just kind of also folks admit that, you know, NDSU is probably going to be about a 50-point favorite here. So we want to bring other content to you other than, you know, predicting that the Bison are going to win by 45. So we are going to bring Nate on right now. Nate, I feel like we got to talk about this, man. Two consecutive recruiting classes with a three-star level kid, Tajavis Miller with an SMU offer. That's American Athletic Conference. It's about as high as you get and still call it mid-major. I don't think the AAC gets teams in the mid-major poll, so I guess maybe that is high major. And then, of course, the Washington State offer in the Pac-12. There's no debating that one. He joins Andrew Morgan, three-star kid. Top 300 kid, had the Iowa offer. What's going on? How is this happening? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's a testament to the culture that Coach Richmond's built at North Dakota State. And, I mean, he's getting the right kids, and he's getting kids that want to get better. And, yeah, it's still tough to beat out high majors for that stuff. A kid like Miller, I mean, it just shows kind of the campus and the facilities and the emphasis that NDSU is putting on their athletic programs and how good of a job they've done. For his mom to work there years ago and for him to basically call Fargo home still is a testament to the culture they've built with all programs, especially the basketball program.
It really is. And, you know, I had Paul, I don't know if you've had a chance yet to check out the 200th episode. It's really fun. Enjoyed doing it. Enjoyed talking to all those. Had a chance to speak with Paul Miller, and he said something really interesting in that he thought this year's club, with the additions of Morgan, Coleman, and Guy, to basically the top eight from last year, he felt like this was the best team that they've had since 13-14. Do you think that's nuts, or is Paul maybe Is he on track there a little bit?
I think on paper, I mean, they returned everyone. And I know my senior year, we were a game away, and they returned everyone but myself. And I was limited time, and that was the year that they go and beat Oklahoma. And they were a game away this past year, and now here we are returning the top eight players, plus adding two, three pieces here that are going to come in and contribute. So I don't think that's too far-fetched. And the expectations are going to be high, and it's about this group's getting better every day and not thinking about what's going to happen in March and just taking it a day at a time and keep getting better.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's obviously the key. But I think it is a team that has a chance to be special. I really do like a number of the guys on this squad. I think they are very, very deep. And that's always something we joke about, right? We joke about, yeah, they might have the guys, but is there really any chance in the world, you know, that they're going to play 8, 9, consistently 9, 10 guys? And I think that really seems to be like where the line is drawn. That really seems to be where maybe it's not super likely.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about being 7, 10, 11, 12 guys. It's going to be 8, 9 again, I'm sure.
Right. When it gets down to it,
There'll be guys that maybe go in and out of the rotation. There might be guys. There's obviously going to be guys like Rocky, Sam, and Tyree, I think, are going to see their time regardless. Like, they're going to play 28, 30 minutes. It's going to be guys competing, and it makes practices really good. Makes them can't take a day off, and I think it's best for the program, too. It's going to weed out the guys that maybe thought that they were just going to be given stuff, and, you know, in Coach Richmond's program, nothing's going to be given to you. So I think it's good for practices for sure. But yeah, there's it's going to be 8, 9 guys, whether we think that how much depth we have or not. It usually ends up being that,
which I think makes us all like super fascinating, because you do bring back the 5 starters, and then you bring back the freshmen in Grant Nelson, Bowden Skunberg, and Des McKinney. So I can tell you right now, Andrew Morgan's going to play. So whether that pushes that 8-man rotation to 9, which I think Bright will, then you are really asking yourself, who's not playing because Andrew Coleman is, or who's not playing because Willie Guy is? How do you kind of see that shaking out?
That's going to be interesting. I kind of wish I was there for those practices. Yeah, I mean, a guy like Des McKinney, I know he played a lot as a freshman. He's going to have to earn his way. And they have a couple point guards. Maybe you get to move Sam back to his natural position at the 4. I know that might not be what he wants to do, but they have so many different lineups that they can mix and match. And it's pretty intriguing to think about. I know a couple times last year that they went really big for some from different spurts. And they're going to be a matchup nightmare. I mean, with the transfer portal, how it is today for mid-majors, it's a bit of a nightmare. I think NDSU has kind of lucked out a little bit with that. And I think that's part of the culture they've built. But you're not going to find mid-major teams that are as deep as they are.
No, and I think that's the other thing that's kind of wild, too. It's like, okay, this is as deep as they've ever been up front. You talk about Rocky Cruiser, talk about a fifth-year guy. I get that Max Asmus is coming back, but this is a mid-major player of the year level player. I think Max is, you know, I would guess that there's probably not, you can't bet on who is going to be the Summit League player of the year, but Max is a pretty likely candidate for that. What I'm saying is that Rocky is of that level. Like, he is a mid-major conference player of the year level guy.
Yeah, and I think if NDSU wins that conference outright or even ties for it last year, we're talking about Rocky for Conference Player of the Year. And we did, especially early on when he was playing really well. He had a couple different segments there in the conference season where he didn't play as well. But I think that's the biggest thing with NDSU is that it's not a team of individuals. It could be a different guy any different night, and that's kind of how it's been the last 2 years. If Oral Roberts doesn't have a guy like Asmus going off for 25-30 a game this year, they're going to struggle, and especially without O'Banner going to Texas Tech, and I'm not sure what South Dakota really returns, losing Amude to Arkansas as well. So, yeah, guys like Cruiser, I mean, fifth-year guys, you don't find that a lot at the mid-major level with a guy at his talent level, are usually moving on to bigger schools.
And the point that I was trying to make too, Nate, is like, so you've got Rocky, who we think is a player of the year level player. Then you've got the highest ranked recruit in the history of North Dakota State, basically until this week, in Andrew Morgan. And then you've got the alien unicorn out of Devil's Lake in Grant Nelson. And they're all 6'9 or taller. So you see those three guys, you see that talent, you understand that talent. And then you think to yourself, we want to go small. We want to play Sam at four. Like that, that's tough. That's difficult. Yeah. It's tough to think about.
Yeah. I mean, you could have a lineup of Sam at the one. You could throw like Tyree at the two, Grant at the three, Andrew at the four, Rocky at the five. And that's just, I mean,
yeah, play
that, defend that.
Play and that Boeheim zone.
They can
play
switch
that two,
any
three.
Position. Rocky's shown his versatility, being able to guard some guards when they switch later in the game. And yeah, I mean, you can have different lineups. I mean, just think about this lineup. You could go Griesel at the one, Tyree at the two, Grant at the three, Rocky at the four, Morgan at the five. I mean, that's a matchup nightmare, offensively and defensively, for opposing teams, and with their ability to switch one through five. You could have some guards in there. You could throw like Dez and Cook and have some bigger guys. They just have a bunch of different lineups that they could use. And I think it'll depend on different opponents. But the big thing that Richmond has is he's got experience late in the game. You know, he's going to go with his most experienced guys. If they need stops late in the game, he's going to go with his guys that he can trust and knows what they're doing. So that's why it's tougher for newer players to get in there right away and find playing time, especially with the experience they have back. But I think as the season goes on, you're going to figure out who that 8-9 guys are going to be.
Absolutely. All right, Nate, thank you for coming on, buddy. We really appreciate it. And, folks, pay attention this weekend. You've got last weekend had four official visits for North Dakota State. One of them pulled the trigger and became a Bison this week. You've got Park Center's combo guard Leo Torbor that's going to go on a official visit and check out campus, check out tailgating, et cetera, et cetera. Also, 6'9" big Brady Nicholson out of Chaska is a lefty with some craft to his game, and he is going to be here on an official visit as well. So potentially be on commitment watch for North Dakota State.
All right, Zach, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
As we mentioned, right now you and I cannot find a line on this game, which is fine. You know, gambling is still illegal here in the state of North Dakota and at Bushwood. But this is a Valparaiso team that went 4-2, I believe, in the Pioneer League with a win. And this is one thing that Matt Ants keeps saying. They beat San Diego last spring,
which is pretty impressive.
It is, yeah. And so it's something where you, I guess, want to have some caution, and that's certainly what he's doing, because the last thing that they want as a coaching staff is for all the players to think, like, we're going to score six touchdowns in the first half,
right?
The twos and the threes are going to get in the game. You know, you got third stringers telling mom and dad to come to the game because I'm going to play. Yeah. Like, that is what, honestly, is probably the most likely outcome, but it's that thought process that they want to avoid.
Yeah, because even if, you know, whatever, they know they're going to beat Valparaiso, there's still a lot of season left, and there's no reason to have a letdown right now when you're playing a lesser opponent.
That's fair. It's entirely fair. So, you know, this, like I said, they lost, I believe, to Indiana Wesleyan 28-10, which is not a close game. I mean, you lose by 18. That's not good.
No, like I said to you earlier, that's not like losing on a last-second field goal.
Yeah,
or
it's not Montana. It's not Montana missing a field goal to lose to NDSU when they're Division II.
Right.
That's just getting beat.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we mentioned, North Dakota State likely to be tremendous favorites. But, hey, this is one of six opportunities to get to the Fargo Dome and watch Bison football all fall.
Yeah, and there's nothing else you can ask for after the last year and a half we just went through.
Right, for sure.
There's nothing better than getting out at tailgating and being able to watch them in person again at the Fargo Dome.
For sure. Okay, so let's just talk right now about guys that you would use in a playoff game. The ones, the one and a halves, even, you can even say the twos, but like from the guys that you're going to need in a playoff game, what do you want to see out of the offense?
that not dropping to the level of your opponent. I think they need to keep that high. And, you know, there's no, like I said, there's no reason to go out and have mental mistakes.
If you're able to dominate, dominate.
Yeah, exactly. Don't play down to that level. Play to the level the Bison play. I want to see the communication. I want to see the efficiency. And I want to see good execution from the boys on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the one thing, too, to kind of, that's kind of difficult, in my opinion, to weigh is how much do you feel like you need to expand the passing game when it's likely that you don't need to pass at all to win this game handily.
Right. I think it's, I think they see it more as an opportunity to develop more than anything.
Yeah.
And I think they should use it accordingly.
I agree. And then the third side to that coin, which there aren't three-sided coins, but like the third side of the coin too, is like, what do you show?
Right.
What do you want to have as far as the Quincy Patterson offense is concerned? What do you want to still have in your bag for UND?
Yeah, and, you know, I was pretty happy with Quincy's performance. 75% completion on Saturday, that's a good start to the season. I don't think you need to go out and show all the whole bags of tricks, but, you know, still continue to grow his ability to get out there, make checks, and make the right read every time he's throwing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, the further development of depth. Certainly you want to see a good, clean, healthy game. Like, yeah. you don't want anybody to go down for an extended period of time in a game where you're crushing the opponent. Yep. But, I don't necessarily want to see, quote-unquote, opening up the playbook. Like, I don't need to see a really cool pass concept that gets Christian Watson wide open. Like, I would rather that does happen against South Dakota State,
right,
in Brookings in a big spot,
yeah,
than against Valparaiso. But it was such a conservative playbook a week ago on the pass game side, with the exception of the couple deep shots to Christian. But I would like to see the intermediate passing game get some work, because it's going to need to be humming. It's going to need to be functional against Towson and UND.
Right. That's kind of what I'm thinking will happen. Just a kind of like a ramp up going into, yep, the Valley season.
Okay. All right. Defensively, after that phenomenal performance, you can call it a theoretical shutout, yeah, or, right, or, you know, giving up, there's no lack of pride in giving up six. No. I mean, but I think there are certainly defenders on that team that would tell you that they gave up zero.
Absolutely.
What do you want to see defensively from these guys, again, against an opponent that maybe we're not so excited about?
Same thing as last week I said, just good execution of the fundamentals. I want to see good tackling. I want to see good communication. You know, hopefully the dome is still loud enough so the, yeah, defense is using checks and being able to non-verbally communicate, because that's all stuff, like you've mentioned a couple times now.
Yep.
In 2 months, it's going to be neat at the top of its game. When it comes to mid-December, this stuff needs to be shored up. So, there's no reason to take a step backwards just because you might be playing someone who lost to an NAIA school.
Exactly. All right. Here's we had a little pre-production meeting and figured out and actually what we think is a compelling conversation surrounding this game. And that is this: how do you handle guys like Dutton Heffer, Bryce Lance, and Cole Payton? Is this a game to get them work, or do you want to save, like, if you lose Christian or you lose Phoenix and Mathis doesn't come back or whatever, and you get to a point where Bryce Lance, scout team offensive player of the week, bona fide freak, like everybody understands the bloodlines, obviously, of five. Right. Like, I think expectations are high for this kid, and I think at least up to now, he is reaching those expectations.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance he could be one of your best five or six, especially if there's a couple injuries.
Right.
I think there's a chance he could be one of your five or six best receivers. Matt has mentioned potentially not being able to keep the red shirt on Dutton Heffer, though I don't believe he snapped on Saturday against Albany.
I don't think so.
And then again, you know, we're talking about Cole Payton. You've got a very big quarterback in Quincy, and a guy who looks like he's strong, looks like he's durable, but at the same time, man, you're one ankle sprain or one knee going the wrong way or one, as we saw with five, one fingertip on someone's helmet on a follow through away from being unavailable. Right. So could Cole Payton need to be the backup quarterback? How do you think they should handle the four games, or how do you think they should handle this game for the guys that they think are studs and might be able to actually improve this football team?
Just from a standpoint of you know, the fact that there's no better development than game reps.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's huge. If you think these cats can help you, I think you get them on the field.
Okay.
Even with, if you step out of that four, you step out of that four, that kid's a dog. He needs to play either way. Yeah. You know, I don't think there's like, there's no reason to hold a red shirt if the kid can contribute. And yeah. I think they've shown to do that when something is needed at a position or they think they can contribute on the field, then those kids will play.
I think the other, I mean, obviously the other side to that is you're so much more productive in year five than you are in year one.
For sure. Yeah. And it's just, there's a lot of dudes on the team who can play.
Like, yeah.
You don't come to NDSU if you're a scrub.
Right.
So every guy has the capability to play. And let's just say I'm happy I don't have to make that choice.
Right.
Because
right.
that is not an easy decision to make.
Yeah. The one guy I think that it makes that's very, very interesting is Cole Payton. Mm-hmm. Because I do think it's important for him to get a rep against college football players. But you start to look at that quarterback depth chart, and if Cam or Quincy went down, it gets real scary.
Yeah, that there's it's the least depth in the, on the whole team.
Yeah.
There's only five of them
right.
to play that one position.
And so, two of them are walk-on freshmen.
Right, and I think you can get some burn out of other guys. Like, I think personally, just when it comes to Cole Payton, play the two. Play Quincy, play Cam.
Yeah.
Because who knows what's right. going to happen. And look at Carson and Easton.
Yeah.
I mean, just a freak play breaks his wrist, and hey, you're a redshirt freshman. Get out there, kid.
Yeah.
So we might need Cole later on, and if he gets into the position where it's like, okay.
Because that's a kid that you don't want to burn a year of.
Exactly, because yeah. you're going to want to hold on to him as long as you can.
For sure. Okay. Okay, so non-redshirt rule guys you're excited to see. So guys that you're not concerned about their redshirt status or their long-term playing status, but guys that maybe we didn't get to see a full run of in pads on Saturday against Albany. My guy for sure that I'm interested in is Mitch Cardis at tailback because he was a freak at running back in high school.
Yeah.
At the same time, this tailback room is full of freaks, and that's why a guy with that resume and that ability didn't get a carry against U Albany, because you have to get Bussy carries and Tamarick carries and Kobe carries and Dom carries and Hunter Lipke gets a fly sweep. Like, that's why I kind of joke, not even joked, but just kind of talked to Coach Roll, like, is one football enough?
Right.
I would hope that number eight gets at least a couple of touches on Saturday.
I would imagine so. And, you know, this is all based upon us thinking this game is going to go how we think it will.
Right.
But, I mean, Mitch was sunning people on NDSU football Twitter, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You know, getting to see it. And like you said, I mean, what was it, like 1,400 yards in four games or something like that?
Yeah.
In high school?
Yep. It's,
I mean,
the man amongst boys.
Kid has a natural yes. talent, and that's St. Michael Albertville. That's not low-level Minnesota football.
Right.
And so I really do want to see him, how he looks at that new position. I think it could be exciting to build a little bit of depth with a guy that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, he's not doing it at Nisswa High. Right. Or like, yeah. So anyway, another tailback that I think had a lot of promise and just happens to unfortunately be the same tailback class as Dom Ganella is TK Marshall.
Yeah, I think TK's a really solid player. You know, he dealt with injuries last year. But like you said, just kind of a guy that is falling behind, not necessarily falling behind, but sinking to the fact that there's 19 running backs that can run the ball.
Right.
And I think this is a good opportunity to let these guys show what they can do.
For sure.
And it's always good to, you know, especially for guys like us, like, oh, hey, program's in good hands for a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, it's important to develop that depth. Like, we obviously did see what happens when tailback depth gets depleted.
Right.
A season like last year where you are down to converting Hunter Lipke to tailback.
Right.
I mean, and just having to win a conference game.
Just think about that position.
Yeah.
You're getting tackled every play.
Yep.
Like, injuries happen quick, and I think that's a good room to stock as much as you can as far as depth.
For sure. One guy that you're interested in seeing a little more of is somebody that could not have been more thrown into the fire last year, and that's Jake Rock.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, that more.
Because we saw plenty of Mason Miller.
Yep. I'm excited to see the physical development of Jake, and, you know, what's happened since last spring, since I left the program. Is he bigger, faster, stronger? And then obviously the technique-wise, did he put it together mentally? Is the game starting to slow down for Jake? Because he can be a really, really good player if that starts to happen for him.
I think so too. The guy I'm really interested in is DJ Hart, because he was kind of the wide receiver, I guess, from that class as far as dudes that people were like excited to see on the outside. Because I think everybody knows Raj is good, but
right.
he's a slot guy. Like, he's 5'8".
Yep.
What are you going to do? So watching DJ continue to continue to progress on the outside and get a few more snaps after his first career catch on Saturday will be interesting. But again, like, how many times are you going to throw it in this game is a question.
Right. And it's just, I mean, poor Coach Entz. He's,
yeah,
he's just trying to get development for his guys and getting yelled at by opposing coaches for running the score up.
The look on his face was absolutely priceless.
He was simply astonished. I mean, because it is what it is. It's not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but Cam needs game reps too. So are we just supposed to put him in and hand it off for right. the last 5 minutes?
And looking at Ian Dino, like, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite moments from that entire game.
Yeah.
Even though it was not part of the actual game, I thought it was absolutely hysterical. The corners that we didn't see, I'm really excited about. Marquis Siegel, number one, for sure. And then the two kind of walk-on kids, I believe, from that class. I don't know if they're still walk-ons, but guys that came in that way in Gennaro Okama and Anthony Coleman. I'm really interested to see what the depth is. And I think, obviously, adding Jerod Vines, we saw four cornerbacks play. We also saw Michael Tutsi play nickelback. So there is some versatility in that back end, but those are the guys that I think you're interested in long term. Of course, Britton Pascoe is a true freshman scholarship kid. They're excited about him as well. But Okama and Coleman are dudes that have kind of been in the program for a while. And Marquis Siegel, he comes with the stamp of approval from Christian Dudzik down there in Omaha.
Yep.
This is a kid that has track speed, and he kind of is the TK Marshall of the cornerback room, in that the poor kid isn't Courtney Eubanks.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he can't play.
Right, exactly. That Christian Dudzik stamp of approval doesn't come easy.
No.
So I know for a fact Marquise is going to be a player here. He's a dog. He has that mentality. Coleman and Gennaro, it's just cool to see in a game rep situation like we talked about
right.
before, because all he's seen is NDSU receivers.
Yeah.
So for them to get out and really show what they can do against people in a different colored jersey, I'm excited to see them and, like you said, grow depth, because that's another room where, in the blink of an eye, somebody can go down. We need next man up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Other than that, guys that we've kind of heard a little bit about, guys that are younger that I want you to touch on: Oscar Benson from Hillsboro, Shaka Roaks, Seth Anderson here from Moorhead, and then Tyler Terhark, the pride of West Fargo Cheyenne.
Yeah, I'll start with Seth. That's my guy. He was kind of like the guy I took under my wing when he was there. But he's putting on body weight. He's getting bigger. I talked to him. He's up about the 280, 285 mark.
Okay.
So, I mean, kid out of Kansas offer coming out of high school. They don't just hand those out, as many people will say they do. But,
right.
I mean, kid's a player. He's a good athlete. And
I mean, any FCS program would have taken that kid, and multiple G5 programs would have taken that kid.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good player. Excited to see him maybe get some burn on Saturday. Shaka was my locker mate. And just like as soon as he stepped on campus and started running with us, you can see it. Like, the kid has some snap. He can move. I'm excited to see him get out there and rush a passer. We did see him a little bit against Albany, but
not a ton.
No, but extended drives and, see how he develops throughout the course of a whole drive through multiple plays. I said Oscar Benson looked like Jabril when he stepped on campus, because
gave him the same number.
He wore 42 and had the same helmet. And I'm like, Jabril is in Baton Rouge. And why? What is this guy doing here? But Oscar's a freak show. I mean, you see him athletically. He's a big cat. I'm excited to hopefully, just step off the special teams a little bit and actually get some
play some defense. Yeah.
And then Mr. Terhark, I'm a Packer. He's a Mustang, but I'll give him his flowers. He's a heck of a player. So just kind of one of those. He reminds me a little bit of Cole Jacob, a guy that can go across the middle, the grindy, grimy plays that you wouldn't expect a receiver to want to make. I think Tyler makes those plays.
All right, so keep your eye on those folks, Bison fans. And another thing, we're not here to condescend to you, but if the game does happen to get out of hand, like, stick around for those twos. And if you, unless you have something better going on right. to do, like, stick around for those twos and threes that are getting their first. This is when you got to play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it hurts my feelings so bad. The Darty can wait 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just stick around and watch me play and cheer when we break a touchdown.
Oh, man. So, yeah, like we said, stick around. Stick around as long as you feel you're able to yeah. if this one does get a little bit out of hand. And we have something that's coming. You're getting this on a Friday morning. A little bit later on here, we've got the second episode of the Bison Report tailgate show, or excuse me, the Big Deck tailgate show presented by Bison Report.
Yep.
There we go. That's better. pork belly burnt ends. These were meat candy.
Meat candy. It's brown sugar. It's sweet. It's smoked. It's Big Deck Barbecue Medora. You can't beat it.
Man. Yeah, you can't beat it. We'll have the recipe for you right there under the video. Zach and I play a little bit of pickleball. You can see if I get my revenge from the ass beatings I took both in Pig and in Street Fighter, but it's a phenomenal episode, and we're going to be really, really excited about it. Then we've got a wild dessert coming for you guys in episode 3 next week that is going to be super, super fun. Okay, Zach, hit me with your score prediction.
63-7, North Dakota State Bison.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
That is a lot of points.
And I think I might be underselling it.
That's too. Fair. Yeah, I'm with you. I am, man. Like, I think they might get to 70.
I think so, too,
I think it's possible, just depending on kind of the pacing of the offense. But it's an offense that is really working on something.
Yeah.
And so I'm 63-7 touchdowns. I'll go 66-7. You know what? No, I'm going to go 66 rip. I think the defense has something to prove. And we've already had the coaching staff has already shut this off. They're so angry with us by this time. Yeah. But anyway, folks, we really appreciate you sticking with us here on the Bison Report radio episode that we've already kind of told you, like, this game might not be the most entertaining thing you've ever seen in your life, but we do appreciate you sticking around with us. We appreciate our sponsor, Big Deck Barbecue. Have a fun, safe weekend, everybody, and go Bison.